Welcome back to New Hampshire Today. Jeff Chittister with you. Don't forget, catch me on Monday mornings at 6:20 with Jack Heath. And also on Fridays from 7 to 8 a.m. I appreciate all of you commenting last Friday about what I had to say about opening up the state of New Hampshire and how we can do it safely, but we've got to do something other than what we're doing right now. And speaking of that, hey, let's bring my partner back in. And I call him my partner because I love it when I have to tell people this, Jack, and remind them of this. I'm going to start re-airing some of our old shows because we had some great stuff, and I pulled some of those interviews back up. But this show used to be called something completely different. It's had its name changed three times. So right now it's New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. It started out as Granite State Patriots way back when, and then it went to, what do we call it? New Hampshire Perspective, and do that. So Jack, Kimball, of course, Jack, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, considering, Jeff. How about you?
Absolutely well, and I think that we're reaching a frustration level, and I think that I wanted to bring you in. I would like to remind everybody a few things about Jack. He's a veteran, Vietnam-era veteran. Thank you for your service. He's also an entrepreneur, small business owner, and also ran for governor. He understands policy. In fact, when he ran for governor and he had that big debate, he scored better than anyone in that debate. So he understands policy, and he understands the things that we need to be thinking about, not only at an executive level, but also from the other side, from a business leader. So, Jack, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on right now. I read something on Friday with Jack Heath from Benedict's Restaurant in Rochester, which now has closed. They've served five generations, and they've closed because of this, because the mandates just closed them. And then Bedford Village Inn is now reporting that most likely they are in jeopardy of staying open, and the mandates aren't getting any better. We'll talk about some of those mandates, but here's where we are in the state of New Hampshire, Jack, and I'm just going to let you go ahead and talk a little bit about this. We have 4,000 cases of COVID-19. Of course, we know that we're probably underreporting by 35% because of the way COVID-19 is now being calculated. And then we had 440 hospitalizations. We had 238 deaths. All life is precious, and we understand that. So here we are, Jack, trying to figure out this whole attitude towards business. And even your dog's getting mad about this. When we think about it, what are some of your observations over the last few weeks?
Well, first of all, I want to talk about the stats you just put out and the data that we now have. The data has proven for many weeks now that we shouldn't be in lockdown, Jeff. I mean, we shouldn't be in lockdown at all. Businesses ought to be able to reopen, and as well as restaurants and other service-oriented businesses. And it's because if you look at the data now, and we have plenty of it, it shows you that this virus is more widespread than we thought. When people say, oh, that's bad, it's not bad. It's good. It's because now we know many more people have gone through it, survived it, no problem. They get a 99% chance of surviving the virus if they get it. That's a fact. And the ones who are really in jeopardy are actually folks my age who have pre-existing conditions, who may be in a nursing home. And that's where the highest percentage of the deaths have come from. But quite frankly, and I tell people this, look, I like that the percentage is 99.9% chance of surviving this virus if we get it. We're in a position now where we talk about these small businesses, and I'm one of these small businesses, more and more of these businesses are going to go down. They can't wait much longer. Even the PPP program is nothing more than a temporary bridge. Not a lot of money. It's enough to get you by a short period of time. It's going to run out. And people like me don't like even participating in it. We don't want to take handouts. What we want to do is continue to run our businesses. Now, I'm blessed because we're a essential business. I'm sorry, but all businesses are essential in my view. Nobody's non-essential, and everybody should be allowed to operate. And so when we look at this, and we look at what's going on, and now in another three-week extension of the stay-at-home orders, we start to realize that there's no real good reason for it any longer, Jeff. And the argument's gone out the window. I mean, my personal opinion is somebody's ignoring the facts here. And I look at DHHS and I say, who's running the show? I voted for Chris, and I understand where he was coming from when this first came out, but I no longer understand it now. And I want to see some real positive action to open up this state, and it should have been opened up a few weeks ago.
And I think, you know, once again, a lot of people will point to his popularity right now. He's polling beyond 90%, but also we're finding out more and more people are actually very frustrated with some of the moves that are being made by the executive branch. In large part, Jack, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, in large part because they seem more political than common sense.
I agree with you, Jeff. I think that's the only reason for this rationale. You know, the polls, if you believe them, are saying that he's got high polling and high marks based upon what he's doing. I don't tend to believe those polls. At least the people in my circles, they're wild. They're as mad as I am, and I haven't been this mad in a long time. And, look, when we see our liberties being taken away, and then we see people in power giving them back to us a little bit at a time, and we're supposed to be all appreciative and applaud, we got a big problem. When you give them back, you give them back with conditions. You know, I live in Portsmouth and went downtown. You opened some of the restaurants, or he allowed them to open. And I went down the other day, and I'm not going back down. I went down to go down and have a cocktail and something to eat. Forget about it. There's very little open. The only things that are open are the outdoor seating, and they wouldn't let me go in there and walk down the middle of one of the restaurants without a mask on. That's it. I'm not coming back. You make me wear a mask to walk down a deck in the open air with the breeze blowing and everything else, I'm not going to eat there. And I love eating down there. So when this is all gone, I'll go back down. But I'm not going to frequent these businesses under the circumstances now. So even if you're opening them up, they have very little ability to draw the revenue that they need. And secondly, most customers like me are not going to be real happy with the conditions by which we have to sit down and have a nice dinner.
Jack, you make a really, once again, we're talking to Jack Kimble. You can follow him online, go to his Facebook page too. And I would like to remind everybody, he's a serial entrepreneur. He's started several very successful businesses and moved them a couple times now on the Seacoast. And also he is a policy understander, certainly from our past times on shows together, and also his time running as governor. Interesting voice, Jack. So you bring up a really good point, too. We seem to be picking winners and losers here, because there are certainly some companies who did nothing wrong here, who actually had some capital put aside for an emergency. No one can anticipate a 3, 4, 5, 6 month stoppage of their revenue. And we seem to be picking these winners and losers just by some of the way these policies have come out. The bigger restaurants with multiple locations are able to adapt faster than that one mom-and-pop little place.
Well, this is true. And if you think about it, Jeff, and you eat out, you know, when you take Laura out once in a while. I hope you take her out frequently. But when you go out, you frequent all of these, the wide range of these different restaurants. My favorites are those that are more closely held and more closely owned. Because I see the owners there, and they're the ones that have been there for many, many years. A couple of them in Portsmouth I frequent all the time. They are not prepared for this, okay? They do not have deep pockets. These are people who have worked their entire lives to build this business of theirs. And in a lot of cases, we talk about Bedford Village Inn. I'm sure we're going to bring that up. And they've been around 30 years. I used to live in Bedford, Jeff, and I watched them build that. And I watched them. I used to go there. I love that place. And they're going to lose all their wedding business, all of their function business, for no good reason at all. But when you think about these businesses that have built themselves up over a 30-year period, and then you're asking them basically to suck it up and drain all the revenue they may have put aside for a while, and actually start all over again. They're starting over again. They don't have the working capital in many instances to do it.
Right.
They're not going to be able to do it. They're just barely hanging on, particularly in the restaurant business. We have decimated so many businesses in our state and, of course, across the nation. But I'm focusing here in New Hampshire. And it's wrong. There's no need to be doing it any longer. In fact, we're way overdue to stop doing this.
So once again, we're talking to Jack Kimble. I want to talk a little bit about the New Hampshire task force that is actually looking at business. So, Jack, so I'm going to ask you three questions. I'm going to ask them in rapid succession, and you go ahead and answer them all together. The first one, New Hampshire task force, have they reached out to you, and have they talked to you? Has the governor reached out to you? Because he knows you. He knows you're a policy person. He knows you're a small business. Has he reached out to you and talked to you? And your company helps small businesses. You service small businesses. What are you hearing from them?
Well, two things. I haven't heard from the governor directly. I have heard from somebody on close to him on his staff once. But, yeah, and, you know, we know each other. If you wanted to reach out, I would happily take the call. Nobody's asked me to sit on the task force or do anything close to resembling that. But they know where I stand, and that won't change. I would like certainly to be able to do that because I think I could influence some people and maybe change some minds. As far as my business is concerned, too, and I want to bring that up, is that we are a service business. We service predominantly healthcare industry, so that's been an interesting journey. Because what happened was, is the day after the governor put into effect a non-essential business has had to close, even a lot of the ancillary practices with these medical facilities closed. And the reason is because they were non-essential. Well, they would look at podiatrists and some of these other practices, and they weren't going to be taking any more patients or seeing anybody. And we lost, not only did we lose those buildings, but we lost actual non-essential businesses. The very next morning, our revenue stream took a huge hit, and we still are. We don't know if any of those or all of those are going to come back. We have no idea what's going to happen on the other side of this. So we have been hurt. We're still going along. We did apply for the PPP program, and we did get funded. Not a huge amount of money, but it at least helps us get through a short period of time. And if this continues much longer, we're all going to be in trouble.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, it's interesting because, Jack, can I carry you over to the second segment as well? Sure. Other questions I want to. So what we're going to do, once again, we're talking to Jack Kimble. Many of you remember, it's not odd to hear Jack Kimble and Jeff Chittister's name put together. Jack and I, it goes back to one of the most interesting shows I ever did, and Jack was there to help me out. And we'll talk about that during the next segment. What we'll do, though, right now is take a break. We'll come right back, New Hampshire Today, Weekend Edition. This audio will be posted up online if you want to listen to it later on or refer back to it. By all means, please do that. And what we'll do is take a break and be right back on New Hampshire Today, the Weekend Edition.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight, griping about the way things are.
And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the Weekend Edition. Jeff Chittister, Jack Kimble. Names kind of go together. You know, Jack, before we get too much further into a couple other questions I want to ask you, and the reason why I wanted to have Jack on, because of three main reasons. One, he's got a great deal of common sense. The second thing is the guy has built a business up, has had it, you know, several times had to move it, had to re-energize it. So he understands what businesses are going through. Three, he ran for governor. And when he ran for governor, he ran a really great campaign and brought up some really good policy. So it helps to have somebody like that who understands all the facets we're trying to deal with during this crisis. So, Jack, you know, I want to remind everybody, the first show you and I did together, we weren't partners. I was on a different station. It was Memorial Day. And we were doing a Memorial Day celebration is what it was supposed to be. And we wanted to honor all those who had served on our behalf and perished. And we had someone call in and actually start yelling at us because we said, if you want to thank somebody for your freedoms, you should thank a soldier. And they took great offense to that. Do you remember that whole conversation?
I actually do. I actually do. And I remember exactly what studio we were sitting in.
Yes.
And
we had a gold star mother with us and this person.
Yeah.
But the reason why I bring that up is because this is the debate we're in right now. And I wanted to make a statement to you and kind of have you explain it a little bit. Whenever we are out there talking about we need to open up the certainly businesses, we need to reestablish our liberties because we've lost a lot of liberties in this. And to your point, the data didn't support that. I often hear this argument, and it irks me to no avail. Oh, you want to kill grandmothers so you can go out and have a hamburger. And I think, what a moral dilemma that person has within themselves to make such a cruel statement to believe that's what we want to do.
You know, Jeff, that's paraphrasing a bit, but that's been said to me already several times. I'm selfish with respect to the attitude I have regarding all this. Look, you know what? People are living in fear right now. It's all that's driving us is fear. And that's the mask issue. You know, hey, look, if you're afraid, stay home. You know, don't tack that on my shoes. Okay, I'm not afraid. And I spoke at the Reopen New Hampshire rally a few weeks ago, and one of the things I said just right to your point, which is this. I always recognize veterans who are in the audience, and I did it that day as well. And I made it clear to everybody there, listen, the price that has been paid in blood and treasure for all of us to live the lives that we have been blessed to live is going to be in vain, okay, if this crap continues. My dad fought in the Second World War. He was in all the major battles in the Pacific. He was fortunate enough to have come home. All those that didn't, in all the wars that were fought, and we just went through Memorial Day, they're the ones that we owe our liberty and freedom to. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a debt that we probably can never repay. But we certainly are now jeopardizing what they have accomplished for us by doing the things that we're doing across this country and in this state. Okay, liberty and freedom is expensive, and we got to keep an eye on it all the time. And you can't sacrifice our liberties and freedom for a little bit of safety. You can't use that argument with me anymore. Now, my responsibility with respect to my safety is my own. It belongs to me. Okay, I can take care of myself. I know what to do. I know what to do with respect to the virus. We all do. We're highly educated in most cases. We understand the needs and requirements of distancing and some of the other things that they're looking to have us do. And we can do them without the government's involvement or dictate. And that's where a lot of people are right now, Jeff. They're saying, you know, we don't need to have somebody dictate to us anything anymore. We understand. We can handle this. Open up these beaches. Open up the parking lots. Open up the parks. And let's get back to living life. Open up the restaurants in full. Don't try to dictate how a restaurant should operate, for God's sake. The people who own them and have been operating them for decades know better. And they're the ones that need to be able to govern themselves in the capacity of business owners. That's not what's going on right now. It isn't. And it needs to change immediately if we're going to have a resurgence of our economy.
And once again, we're talking to Jack Kimball. Of course, you're listening to New Hampshire Today. This podcast will be broadcasted later on today if you want to reach out and listen to it. You know, Jack, I was talking on Jack Heath's show on Friday, and I got a lot of people emailing me because I kind of went off on the executive branch and a lot of people. And I want to bring up one other thing. I love how you said, you know, we're smart, we're educated people. We do a lot of reading. I don't read one source, I read multiple sources. I do want to talk briefly about the mask. And I happen to be one of these people who, one, I was concerned that, okay, so first we started off saying we shouldn't wear a mask, and then we were told we had to wear a mask, and then it became this huge, huge shaming issue. It became this huge shaming issue, and I have looked at all the data, and the data does not support the level of shaming and embarrassing that some people are leveling on people, and it certainly doesn't constitute the restrictions of people's liberties should they not want to wear a mask. And I find this to be one of the more fascinating parts of this whole conversation.
I think what we're seeing nationally is a good example. Let's just use it. You know, it's mandated. You got to wear them. You get $1,000 fine. That is absolutely outrageous. And there's two things I want to say about this. Number one, okay, and I want to talk about masks from two perspectives. One, about a healthy person like myself. I'm fairly healthy, but wearing a mask, it's a real problem for me to wear a mask because it restricts my oxygen intake. And I've had issues lately, anemic issues and others, where my red blood cell count has been down. I have to have my maximum oxygen intake. The second thing that a mask does, it forces you to rebreathe your own CO2, a portion of it. It's very unhealthy. So when you're running around wearing a mask for any length of time and you're a healthy person, you're actually making yourself unhealthy. Secondly, the virus is not stopped by any of these masks. It flows. The particulates are so tiny and minuscule. It goes right through both entering and leaving. So you're not protecting yourself or anybody else by wearing masks. And I have just countless nurses and doctors that have said the same thing. These surgical masks that you see them wearing, the typical surgical mask were meant for one reason in the medical field, which was during a medical procedure, the medical team would wear them to stop any particulates or droppings that going into the open wound during surgery. That's what they're for. They're single-use masks.
Yeah.
You know, once the surgery is over, they take them off and they throw them away.
Exactly.
And you've got these people wearing these same masks every single day for hours, and then I got the Lone Ranger type mask, then I got the bandana mask coming up, and now I was watching a guy with a cowl neck the other day using it as a mask.
Yeah.
None of these things are effective. They look crazy, and I walk into these places and I think, I truly am in zombie land. I just am. This is ridiculous.
It is.
And that's how I feel.
And once again, we're talking to Jack Kimball. Jack, we actually come to the end of the show. It was really interesting. The one thing I do want to point out, so once again, we'll put this up for rebroadcast on the podcast later on today so you can listen to it. And the other thing, I'm going to give you this advice, ladies and gentlemen, as a former police officer. Regardless of where you stand on the mask, should you be one of those people who feel compelled to shame people who are not wearing a mask, I would highly advise you against that. As a law enforcement individual, I will tell you these kinds of situations never turn out well. You are only risking yourself and other people for something that maybe minimally provides some protection to someone. And I would highly suggest that if you're so sensitive, especially about the mask, it's probably going back to what Jack said. You probably shouldn't be out into the world right now. You're more concerned about your own life other than really understanding the data and the complicated issues that we seem to be forgetting about the data. Jack, thanks a lot. We're going to have you back on again because we're going to have to talk an awful lot about this, unfortunately. But thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jeff. Always a pleasure. Have a great day.
Yep, and once again, we'll go ahead and post this up online later on. I'll also link out to Jack's Facebook page. And do not forget, especially now, L-F-O-D.
This has been New Hampshire Today, Weekend Edition, with Jeff Chittister on News Radio 610 at 96.7. We'll be back next week. And don't forget to tune in to New Hampshire Today with Jack Heath, Monday morning from 6 to 9 on News Radio 610 at 96.7, New Hampshire's news, traffic, and weather station. Out here in the-